Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. Someday I'll be free. This is the second day of Black History Month. It is February the 2nd, year of our Lord 2021. And you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us tonight. I hope that you are having a wonderful day, that you are being blessed, and that you are about to do what God has commissioned you to do. We pray that you are at home and that you are safe, and that you are taking every precaution to stay safe that way. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Spring, North Carolina, where our doors hang on welcome hinges. That simply means that you are always welcome to come and be a part of the rich religious experience of Holly Springs, First Baptist of Holly Spring. Right now, church building is closed, and we're worshiping virtually. So we invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. When you go there, you will find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist of Holly Spring. When you go there, you will also be able to watch our Sunday morning service. Every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. When you go to the Facebook page, you'll find those sermons there. You'll also find the link for the Tuesday Bible study. For those of you who are listening by phone, area code is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. Those of you who are listening over the internet, when you go to the Facebook page, you will find the link for the program. All of our programs here are archived. When you go to the link, you will click on the event for the Bible study. Inside that event, you will find a blue link. It's a blue link. You click on that blue link, and it will take you directly to the Bible study. You will find information there about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, also the Wake Baptist Association. So we do invite you to go to our Facebook page, scroll up and down, see some of the services and some of the things that we have been doing at First Baptist. That way you can stay in touch with us and we can stay in touch with you. There are three ways in which you can give to First Baptist. Of course, you can stop by on Sunday between the hours of 11 and 12. Trustees are there to take care of your financial needs. You can also mail your contribution or tithes into the church. Go to the Facebook page and you'll find the correct mailing address. Also, we wanted to make it convenient for those who don't want to go out. We have a Cash App. That Cash App starts with the dollar sign, FBCHS. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Spring. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight by using the Cash App. So we thank all of you who have been supporting the church this far. We pray God's blessing upon you. We hope that you will continue to support the House of God as we continue to serve God Himself. We pray your blessing. We hope that your families are safe and that all is going well in your home. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for each and every person on the line tonight, those who are listening by the internet, and those who will hear this Bible study long after it is over. We pray, God, that something be said tonight that will inspire your people to keep on giving you the praise. We ask, God, that you will go into the homes. Touch those at the home right now, Father. Let my voice touch those and the Spirit move from here to there to relieve whatever it is that they need and provide for them comfort and encouragement in these last and evil days. We thank you now, God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight, beloved, I have two things I want to do, two things that I really want to do. One of the things is over the last week or so, I have been on at least two or three Zoom calls or conference calls about the coronavirus vaccine. If you notice in our event on our Facebook page, you will find the title for tonight is The Church and the Vaccine. We're going to talk a little bit about that in the second part of the hour. But the first thing I want to do is I want to go to the scriptures. I want to talk about so many times I have heard people say that because of this pandemic, we have gotten into a rut. And monotony has taken over. And many times people are upset over the fact that they can't go out, they can't do what they normally would do. And some have said it's going to be that way for a very, very long time. But I wanted to, first part of the hour, I want to deal with that. I want to deal with the monotony, the routine that we have to go through every day. Now that this coronavirus has invaded our land and invaded our lives, there is a monotony, there is a routine. And so oftentimes we get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again. But I have a lesson tonight that I want to talk to you, a little small lesson. Perhaps it will give you some insight on some of the things that we are dealing with in this monotony or this routineness that we're going through with this coronavirus. Then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about the church and the vaccine. What is the role of the African-American church and the vaccine? I'm going to open the lines at that point, and then anything that you would like to speak on, you can speak on, whether it's the first topic or whether it's the second topic. There are two topics tonight, and the first one is the routineness or the monotony that many of us feel that's going on. I'm going to give you some scriptures as I go. And as I provide those scriptures for you, you can write them down for later for your leisure. You can go back and read them, and you can go back and find the words that are coming through this message. Last year was a year of, again, each day in 2020 dawned, and we got up to go to work again. We fed and homeschooled our children again. We watched COVID-19 numbers rise again. And we wondered, when will this be over again? Despite the arrival of the vaccine and the hope of a new year, we woke up on January the 1st to a long wait for the vaccine, half-hearted resolutions, and a new virus strain making its American debut. We are left staring down the winter months of dogged monotony at home. But perhaps these unyielding moments of the pandemic have revealed something we have not wanted to address. Our lives are filled with monotony and repetition, and they always will be. Trying to evade a life marked by repetition is misguided. Repetition is a fundamental reality of human beings, and the pandemic has only heightened our awareness of it. We are creatures of again. We are made for again. So why does repetition feel like a curse instead of a blessing? The Christian story explains this seeming nuance. God has made all creation to exist and to flourish in a repetitive passion. Genesis 1 and 2. When we read that God created over and over again, on one day he created something, and second day he created something else. It was an ongoing same process. The heavens declared his glory, and the sun runs its course with joy. The sun starts in the east every day, and it moves to the west. That's repetition. We have repetition in our lives. Sun runs its course. Psalms 19, 1 through 6. The rivers clap their hands, and the mountains sing his praise. In Psalms 98 and 8, we read God's word, how it explains to us how the importance of understanding the majesty of God and the creation that glorifies God through his consistency, including human beings, God's most treasured creatures. Not only do our bodies require daily food and rest, we are also made to find purpose in knowing and glorifying God again and again. But the fall has made us bitter and unfeeling. This fall of mankind started so many years ago, it makes us bitter and it makes us unfeeling. And we feel like repetitiveness steals our joy and repetition gives us stress. We find ourselves looking for a way out, grasping at any hope that promises relief from our tedious lives. We must learn to participate with our faithful and imaginative God to rediscover the delight of repetition for which we are made. In his book, Orthodoxy, Dr. G.K. Chesterton chastises us for our disconnection and our disassociation with the view of reality. He says that children understand the heart of God better than adults, like children who beg for their adults to do it again and see another opportunity for delight. Any parent that has had a child, especially young children, whenever you do something, they always say, do it again, do it again, do it again. So this repetition is built in us. The Creator delights in us doing the same thing again and understanding there is a new opportunity every time we do it, just like a child who wants to do it over and over again. This is something that the Creator delights. He knits together another human to grow a new tree, another timeless craft of fields of daisies. He does it over and over again. For grown-up people, we are not strong enough to exalt in our repetitious lives. He says, Chastity says, but perhaps God is strong enough to exalt in our repetition, for we have sinned and grown old, and our God is younger than we are. My children's world and your children's world is completely oriented around the basic truth that I will provide for them. And because they trust you and I, they inherit our world of free hearts. The free spirit that children possess is not naive. It is an account of the trust that grows out of the trustworthiness of the relationship of the parent. So a child does not worry whether you will do it again, whether you will feed him again, whether you will dress him again. It's the fact that he trusts that you will. So he's free. He's free to go about his day, not worrying about the stress and the strain of again. Though part of growing up is navigating the brokenness of our world, Jesus exhorts us to retain a childlike heart, a heart that trusts in the provision of the Father. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, he has made us to participate with him, presenting our needs, desiring intimacy, and delighting when he provides again. This is how we retain a childlike heart, a fierce and free spirit that trusts in the Lord and delight in his invitation to trust him every single day. Adulthood often strips us of something that we were meant to be. We were meant to be creative beings who see a world of sameness through imaginative eyes. In losing the joy of routine, we diminish our capacity for knowing and reflecting our God, who reveals himself in the small rhythms of daily life. Again is the place of transformation. Again is the place where we choose to meet God and where he chooses to meet us. Again grows us and offers us new mercies every morning. Lamentations 3 and 23. We are made for repetition. Through the dundrum of daily life, and although this dundrum of daily life can feel soul-crushing for most of us, the writer Chesterton argues that God is strong enough to exalt in our repetitiveness because he delights in sustaining sameness while also creating newness. Of Scripture testifies that God delights in providing for his people again and again. We see it in the covenants, in his willingness to remove our transgressions, in Psalms 103 and 12. His prophets who speak difficult words out of love, Jeremiah 35 and 15. The manna on the ground which he rained down for the children of Israel every day, Exodus 16 and 4. The combination of our Father's desire to provide is in Christ. Jesus spent the majority of his life as a carpenter, building tables and chairs and preparing wood and making measurements. He was familiar with the mundane. And perhaps this is why the gospel reveals a man who was not bothered by being asked to heal again and to teach again, to explain who he was again and again. Rather, we encounter an indefinite creative teacher and healer who weaved parables, displayed his power through difficult signs, and heals in ways that are tailored to each individual need. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells seven different parables, all but one of which begins with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, or the kingdom of heaven is like yeast for bread, or the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden field. Over and over again, he repeats those same lines. Each illustration teaches the same lesson from a new angle so that listeners might hear and understand. When Jesus healed the blind man in Mark 4, when he spat on the ground and put the mud pies in the eyes, and he saw that the healing was not complete, he repeats the same process of the laying on of hands. Our God is a creative God who takes every opportunity to do things new for us over and over each and every day. Jesus participates in this repetition of human life so that he might heal our broken relationships with life. Through his presence and his constant love of sinful people, Jesus is model for us how to find joy and freedom in the midst of our lives and the monogamous times that we are living in. He is the bread of life, eager to nourish when he feeds the 5,000 in Matthew 14, or his friends in the upper room in Matthew 26. By his spirit that indwells us today, we too are empowered to approach our work, our families, our circumstances, and our enlightened lives with imagination. Though through all of these things that we have done in our lives, we must understand that we are creatures of repetitiveness. So don't get tired of doing the same thing over and over again. I've heard many people say, "I'm so sick and tired of doing the same thing. Can't go out, I can't do anything." But God wants us to know that we are a people that were built for repetitiveness. We are people who were built to do the same thing over and over again. Many times the problem is that we just don't want to do it. But God, we serve a God that does the same thing over and over again. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west over and over again. The world spins on a 24-hour cycle over and over again. Seasons come every year. Over and over again. We are a people of repetitiveness. So when you feel tired, or when you feel stressed, or when you say to yourself, "We're not going to ever get out of this mess. My life is just repetitive. That there is no spice to life." Remember that God is watching, and he has built in you the ability to deal with what you're dealing with today. That is my first message that I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to deal with the fact that we as children of God must understand that we have a routine, and that routine is part of who we are, as part of what we are, as part of what God made us. So don't get weary in your well-doing. The second part of tonight, I wanted to deal with week or so, there have been many Zoom calls and there have been many conference calls through the Journal Baptist State Convention and various others who have been on the line. And I have been involved in at least three of them. And all of them wanted us to talk about the coronavirus vaccine. And let me say this in the outset. Ultimately, it is a personal decision to take the vaccine. Let me say that one more time. Ultimately, it is a personal decision to take the vaccine. That is not my purpose here tonight, to tell you to take the vaccine or not to take the vaccine. I'm not talking about either one. A personal decision that each and every one of us will have to make. But I wanted to just talk to you a little while about what's going on as far as the church and the coronavirus vaccine. Black pastors everywhere, especially concerned with this coronavirus, because it has disproportionately impacted our community and other communities of racial minorities in around this state. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Black people are 1.4 times more likely to become infected with corona-19 and 2.8 times more likely to die from this virus than white people. There are a number of possibilities and reasons for this. The National Urban League points out that many minorities are more exposed to the virus because they work in fields that don't accommodate working from home. African Americans also tend to have more pre-existing conditions, often poverty-related conditions. That puts them in a risk of COVID-19. On top of that, they are less likely to have health insurance. Whatever the reason, the crisis is bad, and there's an emergency in the Black community. The African American community needs leaders, especially pastors and church leaders, to find a way to respond. After one or too many of the things that we have done this year, one of the things they have asked us to do to respond to those situations. One of the most sad things that pastors are reporting all over the country is that they are doing more funerals this year or in 2020 than they had ever done. And this brings about a change in the hearts and the minds of the people, particularly those who are in the church. There was a study that was done in Florida, and that study talked about the effectiveness of the coronavirus vaccine and the ability for churches to get out information concerning that vaccine. The group is participating with hospitals in other states to better understand this vaccine and to make and to let them know when this vaccine will be available. Our plan is very systematic, very measured, and very achievable, he said. The church is in some ways a center, not just a religious center, but a social institution as well. This is Dr. Jamel Drakes, a religious leader, pastor of Florida State University, who specializes in African-American religious culture. The church has historically been a site state has used to gain the trust of African-Americans, given the role that the church plays in African-American communities. Black communities often distrust the government and are skeptical of medical authorities. Drake said there's good historical reason for this, citing the racist writings of the 19th century and the medical doctors who used science to justify slavery and 20th century medicine experiments performed on unsuspecting African Americans. The most notorious, Drake said, was the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, which continued into the 1970s. The United States Public Health Service promised health care to 600 Black people in Alabama in exchange for participation in a study. The health service identified 399 of the men who had latent syphilis, but did nothing to help them. Instead, the service chose to study what would happen if they did nothing to treat the illness. The experiment continued for 40 years, and 128 of the participants died. You can't talk about medicine and science without the history of race, said Dr. Drake. History is not just an antique that we observe. History is us. Today, Black people are less likely to seek medical treatment than white people, or even taking their flu vaccine. There is some concern that even though the coronavirus is disproportionately hurting Black people and other communities, Black people and other minorities won't seek out the vaccine. Anthony Evans, pastor and founder of the National Baptist Church Initiative, points to the administration of the vaccine in the Black community. It requires trust building. His network has decided to wait to promote the vaccine until more data is available. So what is the role of the church and the vaccine? At this time, the coronavirus 19 is devastating our community. Multiple studies, control studies, show that the vaccine is safe so far. And this gives us hope. This gives us understanding that something can be done. The science is pretty clear at this point that our very best hope is getting a large group of people involved in getting vaccinated. Religious leaders can also help health authorities think through the ethical questions involved with distributing limited resources. We must be the ones who will take the initiative. The church gives hope through our Lord Jesus Christ, she said. We ought to be a beacon of light in the community as well. Somebody just took my slogan, be a beacon on the hill. We ought to be a beacon of light in our community as well. According to Dr. McManus, the organizations that we have, the churches that we are using, is a prime place for us to discuss the coronavirus and the coronavirus vaccine. So what do you think? What do you think the role of the church should be? I particularly would like to make sure that everyone in First Baptist has as much information concerning the vaccine as they possibly can. As I said at the outset, it is a personal decision. However, the church is here to give you the information that you need. We're going to be posting information on the Facebook, not a lot, but just in clear, short information that will give you an idea so that you will be able to make up your own mind concerning you and your loved ones. But we must understand, we cannot do nothing. We cannot just sit back and do nothing and hope that this virus will go away. We cannot wish it away. We cannot pray it away. This is a real situation, and we must take immediate action. We thank God for the scientists and the doctors who have come up with the various vaccines and the various things to help us. So we must understand today that we have an obligation as the children of God just to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to have privilege or the right information concerning the coronavirus vaccine. So what is the role of the Black church, particularly? What should we be doing? I'm going to open the lines in just a few minutes. If you would like to comment on the first subject that I talked about, the repetition in our lives, or if you would like to comment on what the church should be doing or how we should be feeling or what we should be expressing during this time of the coronavirus vaccine, I would love for you to state your purpose and to state your statement at that time. So I'm going to open the lines in just a minute, but I wanted to make sure that we got over to you this information. And as I said before, we're going to post some things on the internet, on the Facebook page throughout the year, throughout the month, that will give you more information. There will be some links. Maybe for the Centers of Disease Control, you will find a link for that pretty soon. Maybe tomorrow we'll put that up, and you'll be able to click on the CDC link, and you can see more information there. We will also put up the Pfizer, Moderna link so that you can click on that, and you can also get information from them. And, of course, there is a new vaccine made by Johnson & Johnson that hopefully will be on the market very soon. But we do need to have as much information as we possibly can. Is one shot better than two shots? Is two shots better than one shot? Will this work? Will the two shots work? Will we have to get booster shots every year after we get these shots? These are pertinent questions. These are important questions. And there's no need for us to be taken by surprise or to be upset when we find out what the real deal is. We need to educate ourselves as soon as possible so that we can prepare our minds and we can prepare our hearts and we can prepare our loved ones for what's coming. As I said in my Sunday message, we got to stay woke, beloved. We got to stop going to sleep on problems and issues that are going on in our society. I know going to sleep sometimes make you think that the troubles are gone, but when you wake up, the trouble is still there. So we got to stay woke. We got to deal with the situation that we find ourselves in one way or the other. We got to deal with it, and we got to stay woke, because it does not only mean your health and safety, but it also means the health and safety of those who are around you. So I'm going to open the lines tonight. We're going to open the lines, and I want you to chime in if you have anything that you would like to say about either one of the subjects that I have spoken on tonight. You will have an opportunity to do so. Okay, let's go to error code 919, last four digits, 5440. Are you on the line?
Good evening. I'm on the line. This is Whitney Freeman. How are you?
Good evening. How you doing, Whitney?
I'm good.
Good, good. What do you think about what we talked about?
Ooh, I love the first part. I love the second part, too. I'm going to try to be unbiased on the second part, because I did work on clinical trials for years before I stayed home due to COVID.
Well, give it to us all. Don't worry about it. Just tell it like it is.
I would say, hey, Aunt Jean.
Hey.
I would say the biggest thing I would say with our community is that we have to start educating ourselves and stop this "that's not my job" kind of mentality, because a lot of times, and this is not everybody, but a lot of the patients will come in not aware of what medications they've taken. They have pre-existing conditions. They're not seeking treatment for it. And then also with this trial, I think there was a very low percentage of African Americans even in these studies. And some of that was because the pre-existing conditions exclude them from the studies. And some of it was because we still have the mentality of, we don't trust the doctors.
That's right.
When you do that, we don't get that data. And at some point, you know, back then there was an excuse, you know, people were illiterate. They were in, you will do so many things when you need to eat, when you need to clothe your family. But now we have access to education. We have access to the trials. You can go to clinicaltrials.gov and you can look at the percentage of this trial. But we also have to take ownership for our health, educating ourselves, knowing what medications we're on, and then knowing, too, with this vaccine does not mean you can't catch COVID-19 and that it's 100% effective. And just knowing that even if you have two shots, you have to wait 28 days before you're fully what they consider, and I don't think it's not even 100%, where you have a, your chance of getting it is less. But I would say the biggest thing is be educated and start taking ownership for our own health, treating our pre-existing conditions, and kind of move away from that we don't trust the doctors. Because we have to start somewhere.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Whitney. You're absolutely right. All of those points that you brought out are absolutely right. What was that website again that you said we could go to?
Clinicaltrials.gov.
Clinicaltrials.gov. Thank you so much, Whitney. Thank you. Jean, what do you think about this?
okay, everyone. Well, River Rogers, my thing is on the exact part, like, encouragement, like from the religious leaders, is important now, especially, you know, with continued signs that people are even hesitant, you know, to get the vaccine. And one thing that I would lean on towards biblical view is that, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm saying, you know, the benefits of taking the vaccine far outweigh the chance of harm to someone else. You know, and really, you know, we talk about it and we say if the vaccine is going to, you know, cause harm, you know, it's going to cause harm to the human race, not just necessarily to the blacks or Indians or any other races, because, you know, we're fighting a virus. And the vaccines are really about the disease, not about a racial group.
Right.
Of people.
Right. Thank you so very much, Ms. Mangum. Area code 336, last four digits 3769. Are you on the line? 3769.
Hello, Pastor Rogers. This is Reverend Williams. How you doing tonight?
Go ahead. How you doing, Doc? You doing all right?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. What you got to say about this?
I enjoyed the message. I like both of them. Bible point of view, I would say, I think about what Hosea says. My people
mm-hmm.
are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I think our people, we need to study, we need to research more about different things.
Mm-hmm.
We all the time will sit around and listen to what mom and pop got to say or uncle and aunt, and we just take their word for it instead
mm-hmm.
of investigating it for ourselves.
Yeah.
If we go out, I think if we take more time and investigate things and research things and ask more questions. I used to play football in high school, and my coach would always say, a dumb question is a question that's not asked.
That's right.
And that's the problem we have. Mm-hmm. We don't ask a lot of questions. We tend to listen to what everybody say and do what everybody else do, when in fact, you know, hey, we need to actually really research it. Now,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother, Miss Frances W. Cagle, she took part one of the shot last week. And I asked, I said, Grandma, why are you doing this? Because somebody got to step up and be an example. And that's why she took her, that was her reasoning for taking the shot. She said, I trust in God. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes our healing, we pray for healings, and sometimes the healings come in the medicines that he allowed the doctors to, you know, to make.
That's right.
And a lot of times we overlook,
mm-hmm.
and when we talk about a healing, a lot of times we're thinking, okay, God going to completely take this. But you got to look at it. A healing is where God just simply make your life easier to live with whatever it is you got.
That's right. That's right. And you're absolutely right about that, Reverend Williams. A lot of times we say we're trusting God, but then we don't realize that God can send doctors. God can send medicine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize what God is doing. We're looking for something pie out of the sky, something to fall out of the sky to fix it. Whereas God has said, look around you. I'm giving you stuff all around you
yes,
to fix
sir.
It. And all you got to do is just pay attention. Amen. Thank you so very much, Reverend Williams. I might come back to you in just a minute. Area code 919, last four digits, 7459. 7459. Are you on the line? 7459. All right. Maybe you're just listening. That's fine. Area code 919, last four digits, 5257. 5257. Are you on the line?
Yes, Reverend Rogers. This is Joyner.
Bro,
how
are
you
doing tonight?
Good lesson. I like both parts of the lesson. And when it comes to the virus, I can only tell people what I'm going to do. And I tell them that I'm going to take the shot. But I also try to give them some information on the shot and what it does. A lot of us, particularly the older generation, they don't quite understand what the shot is and what it does for us. So as Christians, I think it is our duty, as Sister Mangum said, if you love your neighbor, then I think that as Christians, we should try to inform those that are less informed than some of us. So I can only tell people what I'm going to do, and I can tell them the benefits of taking the shot, and hopefully they will make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Reverend Williams, is this something the church should be involved in? Should we even be bothered with this? Is this something the church should be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, Pastor Rogers, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do your research and go back into the black history, the slaves came along, they didn't know how to read. So they didn't understand anything or how to do anything unless the pastor would come along and say, well, look, this is what
right.
we need to do in order to get to this place. And so the church has always been a part of the community down through history because, again, the slaves did not know how to read. And the one slave that did read and knew what was going on was the ones that kept the slaves up to date, kept the slaves on what to do and which way to go. Even when they started voting, the first place the people would go was to the church to see, well, let's see who we're going to support. Who are we going to vote for? What are they doing for us? You know, so yeah, the church should be involved. I think the church has really gotten away from being involved in politics and in community organizations and all of those different things. And I think the church should be more active in the community than they are today.
Thank you, Reverend Williams. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much for laying that out for us. Whitney, do you think, what is happening with people with pre-existing conditions? Do you think that this shot is safe for them as well? I mean, I know you're not able to could guarantee it, but those who have high blood pressure, those who have diabetes, have you heard anything about anything different from those people who are taking shots?
No. And I think when I looked at, there's not a lot of data, but honestly, you have to look at it from a risk-benefit kind of ratio, where there's things that they're doing in their daily lives that could probably kill them faster than taking this shot.
Wow.
And there's a lot of other things that people put into their bodies and decisions that they make that could impact them negatively more than taking this shot. So I think it goes back to showing compassion and doing it, because what we really have to consider with this vaccine is really the 60 and up group. You know, most of the younger group are going to do fine, but do you want to see your older loved ones again? That's what we have to think about with this shot, because we're the ones moving around more. But I don't think that a person like that's diabetic or not, I just think no matter what you do, I have a friend yesterday who, she texted me, her brother took an antibiotic and had a late onset reaction. He had been taking it for 8 days. Could have died, and he's healthy. So you just, you can't say that this would impact somebody negatively, because it impacts people that are completely healthy. I would just think the best thing to do would be educate yourself and understand, number one, I don't even think they even know if it's going to be like the flu. Like, I think you will probably have to take it every year, because with the flu vaccine, people still don't really understand how that works. It doesn't 100% protect you. It protects you from strain B and C, but strain A, which is new every year, it doesn't protect you against that. And I just think with this vaccine, the focus should be just thinking about how it impacts others, and that so people can move around safely. But I don't think that there's even enough data yet, because there's safety, but not long-term efficacy. So anybody who's really taking this vaccine is taking it at a risk, whether they have pre-existing condition or not, honestly, because they don't really know. Most trials take 2 and 3 years for safety data and efficacy.
Thank you so much, Brother Jonah.
I'd like to say something. I like what Miss Whitney said. She said taking it at a risk. If you think about it, all of the medicine that they make or that they manufacture, we're all taking it at a risk. You know, even though they do the clinical trials and they got all this data, guess what? Everybody's body is different. Again, here you go. You go to the hospital, doctor, he give you something as simple as blood pressure medicine, or give you something as simple as an antibody. Again, like Ms. Whitney said, it's a risk, and you do not know. It may not react when you start, but it may have a delayed reaction. Again, we're taking everything that we take. Look at the commercials of the advertisements. On the commercials, at the end, that man starts reading all those different reactions at the end real fast, so he can get it by you, so you can run to the doctor and ask for that prescription to try to help you with whatever you got.
You're absolutely right, Reverend Williams. You're absolutely right. Sometimes the side
Reverend
effects
Williams
are worse.
Right.
Sometimes the side effects are worse than the problem.
Yeah, you're right.
Brother
That's
John.
Right.
Brother, I'm going to ask you a question,
yeah.
Brother John. What are some of the ethical
Pastor
questions
Roger,
that we
before,
have?
Before you ask me a question, Pastor Roger, can I want to speak on what Reverend Williams said and what
go right here. Go right here. Go right here.
Witness said. A long time ago, there was a saying that each one teach one. And I think that's we've gotten away from that a little bit now. And the church was the focal point for that philosophy. And as we have grown economically and gotten various things in our lives, we've taken the focus off that each one teach one. And
yeah.
The pastors were the main people that black people trusted as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
we are to do anything in our community now, we have to get back to that philosophy, and we have to get into a situation where blacks can trust our church and church leaders, because as we are growing up and we see our children dying in the street almost every day, they are putting that
every
trust
day.
In things. They're putting their trust in the wrong thing. And we have to
yep.
get back teaching them that there's a different way to do things. And our church leaders, and I'm not putting a lot of pressure on you and Reverend Williams, but I think if our church and our church leaders were more visible, then our young people would have something else to focus on besides all the violence and mayhem that they get in today.
Thank you, Brother John. You actually answered the question that I was going to ask you. So you were right on topic. You're exactly right on, because I was just going to ask you what are some of the things that the church can do to bring about a change in the lives of people. And you answered that question just like I had asked it to you. So let me go to another question.
I got it from Reverend Williams. He touched upon it first, and I just thought about it. And I was listening to Reverend Williams. He did a good job.
You're absolutely right. Well,
I thank Reverend Rogers for that, because Reverend Rogers, I've been following Reverend Rogers ever since I was a little boy. And like you said, we always looked up to our pastor. Our pastor was the Reverend Rogers' pastor. I looked up to my pastor, and then Reverend Rogers became my pastor,
right.
And I continued to look it up to him.
Right.
And
right.
He ordained me as a minister. And anytime I have any problems, I go straight to Reverend. You know how a little boy, when he have problems, all the time he comes and see his daddy. Time
mm-hmm.
I have problems, I go to Reverend Rogers, and he never steered me wrong. So
Amen.
I thank Reverend Rogers. He's doing it. And if you follow Reverend Rogers and his website, he's always encouraging the community to get out and do things, and to understand what's going on, and to study to show thyself approval. And that means a lot to me as a young black man, because man, most people, when they look at their pastors, they talk about, well, he had a really nice suit on, big car, he's the pastor of a mega church. You don't hear pastors getting down in communities like back in the old days.
Exactly. Well, I thank all of you so very much for your comments. On the first topic that I spoke about, I just want to just reiterate. The gospel reveals a man who was not bothered by doing the same thing over and over again and being asked the same questions over and over again. So we have to be the same way, particularly when it comes down to this
yep.
coronavirus. We got to keep telling the same thing over and over again, because our people need to hear it from as many points of view as possible. This is why I wanted to use our Bible study tonight to deal with that. Not just my opinion, but I wanted others to hear your opinion as well. Those who will hear this Bible study tomorrow or the weeks that will come after tonight will be able to not just hear my point of view, but they'll be able to hear your point of view as well. And perhaps we can start this conversation, and we can start this motivation in our communities and in our churches, that people will take the self-initiative to think for themselves and think for those who are around them. I like what Ms. Mangum said earlier about the fact that it's not about us. It's about those who are around us as well. So we have to make sure that we take care of our surroundings as well as our own personal needs. Does anybody else have anything that they'd like to add before we go off? We got about 2 more minutes. Well, I thank all of you so very much for being on the line tonight. Reverend Williams, will you give us a prayer?
Yes, sir. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly into your throne of grace to say thank you. Lord, yes. We thank you for another day. We thank you for not letting our family chains be broken. And Lord, as we go further this week, Lord, we ask that you bless us. Bless our families and friends. Bless Congress. Bless the president, Lord. In your name, Father God. Amen.
Amen. I would ask that you would tell your family and friends to tune in to this. Go back to this Bible study tonight. The link is on the First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page. Go back and play this for your relatives and to your friends over the next few weeks so that they will hear this conversation that we've had tonight. I think it was a very powerful conversation. I think it was a very informative conversation. I thank God for Whitney, who came in with information that she knew about, that she understood, that could explain things to us. I thank God for Reverend Williams. I thank God for Brother Jonah, Ms. Mangum, and all of you who have been on the line tonight. We have about 15 on the line. Some numbers I did not get to tonight. But I pray that you will let others know about this study that we have done tonight on the church and the vaccine. So have a good week, and we'll see you next Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour.
I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.